Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. Wednesday already. We love these short weeks, don't we?
Sure do, Dit. Sure do. Back and recharged after the long weekend.
Hey, a couple of big things to talk about this morning. I am really excited, and I know you are. Friday night at the Red Hots.
Oh, the Trots at Wayville. This is something that should have happened 10 years ago. But I'm going to celebrate the fact that it's happening even in 2017.
Roo, this was my childhood. We used to pack up the car as a family and go every Friday night. It was brilliant. What a night out. And something about Wavell, you were so close to the action. I just loved it. Unbelievable.
And it's not just about the trots. It's not about harness racing or whatever. I mean, that's a big part of it. But it's about more things for people to do, more things for people to get to quicker and easier and get home from. And
it's central.
Not have to have a $50 cab ride there and back if you're going to have a couple of drinks. And
well, you can get the tram there for a start.
And I would suggest that this is going to create a hell of a lot of jobs and sustain a hell of a lot of jobs in an industry at the moment where people would be working their asses off and getting nowhere.
I just wonder if it means, now this is a one-off at the moment, right? But clearly they're looking at it. Does it mean that then the industry can sell off all of Globe Derby if they were to shift full-time to the city, and that means millions and millions of dollars into that sport, which
maybe
will be the lifeblood of it, won't it?
I hope so, Ditz. I hope it's that easy. I mean, they'll still need somewhere to train and somewhere to house the horses and all that sort of stuff, but maybe they could do that in another area, because that I've driven out on that road 500,000 times on the way to Wakery, and I look at it every time. I see the houses have crept over from Mawson Lakes little bit by little bit by little bit, and that whole area should be a housing development now, so I hope we do things like that, and I hope one day Victoria Park goes back to being the best racetrack in Australia.
Yep.
I hope it does, and it should, and it's only the minority of people that don't want development to happen in the parklands that will stop it, but one day it should happen, and it'll be absolutely brilliant. It'll be like what Adelaide Oval's done for footy. It'll do the same for the racing industry.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And look, there'll be those that don't, and we'd be happy for them to ring us up as well and discuss it. But today I'm on your side. Hey, Roo, electricity. Now, we talk about this every week because it affects all of us. There's no doubt about that. Mm. You told me something off air this morning that I'm just shaking my head at. What did you say about your hotels?
Our power bills will go up 50%.
That is mind-blowing.
I know it is.
50%.
50%. And I double-checked this yesterday. Contracts are starting to come out, and that's what's going to happen.
Can I just say, there'll be the odd person listening right now that will say, oh, but they own pubs, you know, they can afford that.
Yep.
But no, it actually makes
doesn't
it more.
Like it.
No, it doesn't. And it means that little old me buying my schooner, what do you think happens to the price of that? And what do you think happens to the price of food and everything else? It will affect everybody.
And that's just a little example of it. But that the power bills that affect us are going to affect Woolworths. They're going to affect Foodland. They're going to affect the local butcher. They're going to affect Mr. Manufacturing.
This is outrageous.
Your nana's chair that
everything.
You want fixed. Everything where you turn a light on or turn a machine on or turn a fridge on or turn a freezer on or an air conditioner on or anything, it's going to be more expensive to do anything. Therefore, everyone has to charge more, which means everyone's going to have less money in their pocket at the end of the week.
I'll tell you something. The Prime Minister came out, and we discussed this with John Rowe yesterday. He came out last week and said, I'm going to start to try and override things like parole and whatever. He needs to do it with the electricity as well. He actually needs to come out and say, I'm sorry.
I think he is a little bit saying that they want that coal mine build up in Queensland.
No, he needs to look at the profits these mobs are making, profiting out of us and putting his foot down and saying enough's enough.
Yeah, I think they need to build more big power stations. That's what they have to do. The ones that are shut down.
Well,
a healthier version.
Yeah,
new age version.
You're probably right, but in the meantime, check out the profits these people are making as well.
Mm, yep.
Anyway, a lot to talk about this morning. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 6:12 it is on this Wednesday morning. It's going to be a nice day again, Roo. 18 and sunny today.
Beautiful. Yeah, nice if you want to enjoy the sunshine. Not so nice if you're a farmer out there waiting for rain.
Yeah, there's been none.
No, in some places they are.
And yet the east
looking
coast of Australia is getting belted.
Yeah, too much. They've had a pretty good run, the old cockies, but hopefully there's a bit of rain around for the ones who need it at the moment.
Now, making news around the place. We spoke yesterday about the unfortunate timing of Carrie Bickmore's announcement about her beanies.
Yep.
And she's been slammed and lambasted by people out there in the public on social media. Ooh. So just to set the scene, this was about the beanies, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for beanies for brain cancer because her hubby died, which is all very sad. And all she's trying to do is raise money for cancer.
Yeah.
She's not trying to take anything away from anyone. And heaps of idiots are having a crack at her.
Because of the MND situation where they sold beanies as well and sold many, many beanies. Now,
but it's all for bloody charity. She's not making any money out of it. She's not getting any fame out of it. She's trying to do the right thing.
And I don't think it was
beat cancer.
Yeah, she wasn't trying to say, I'll sell more beanies than them.
Nothing to do
with it. It was just an unfortunate timing issue.
Yep.
And last night on the project on Channel 10, she broke down.
I also just wanted to say a few people have been asking why we launched our campaign on the same day as Neil Danaher's big freeze at the G yesterday. Honestly, it was completely unintentional. We were due to launch our beanies a couple of weeks ago, they didn't arrive in time, so we just pushed it back a few weeks. And in the busyness of making it all happen and trying to keep all of our supporters happy, we just didn't take note of the fact that the new date then clashed with Neil's freeze at the G. So we just wanted to get the beanies out to everyone. And now I wish more than ever that we'd waited a few days. Neil is amazing. I spoke to him today and he said they had an incredibly successful campaign yesterday, which is great news as well.
And look, I've never met Carrie Bickmore, but everything I hear about her and everything I see on TV, she's just a delightful person and she's trying to do the right thing.
Yep, very genuine. So you just wish some people could ignore all those haters online because I don't think it's
terrible.
Nah,
ridiculous. Moving on, Elle's back in the draft.
Elle McPherson?
Yeah, the body.
Oh, she'd still go number one, I
think so. She's number one pick. No worries about that. So she's split with her second husband.
Mm.
So she's out there, Roo. She's free again.
Mm.
Mm. My phone hasn't rung.
No. How about yours? I'm not even going to try. She's out of everyone's league, dits.
Oh, you think so?
You have to have $1 billion in your pocket.
Yeah. So she's looking for a house in Miami. Not in Arndorf, surprisingly. She's
she could live in Arndorf.
I think she could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
Bloody oath. No worries about that.
At the other end of the street.
The French end.
I'll look forward to the updates. The paparazzi end. Will give her a flogging, I'm sure, over the next couple of months. I'll be chasing her around and see who's next in line to...
Yep.
To
there'll be all sorts of rumours.
Hold her hand.
Yeah, that's right.
And there'll be a few there trying to get hold of that.
Yeah, we mentioned the trots earlier, the harness racing. We're going to talk to John Lewis from Harness Racing. It's moving to Wavell, which is fantastic news. Well, for a one-off meet.
You used to go, did you?
Yeah, when we were little.
When did it finish at Wavell? Because I haven't seen it
in the
mid-70s. Mid-70s.
Yeah, went out to Globe Derby. They built Globe Derby and it went out there. Yeah, but it was brilliant. What a good night out. And they were always big crowds. It was just fantastic.
Mm.
One person that probably won't be going when it's at Wavell is, remember we have the old dumb comments and we had this caller.
An ex-girlfriend of mine, we were down at the Marion Footy Club having a bit of a punt on the TAB where she came out with a good one. Is the harness racing there just for disabled
jockeys? The trots for disabled jockeys.
Oh, one of our smarter listeners.
Yeah. She's not on the committee.
No, not at all. But, looking forward to it. Hey, Roo, in a moment, we're going to meet I met this bloke on the weekend down at Goor, and he's just lost his mum. It's a sad, sad story to MND, and they've got a big, big weekend coming up, and I thought it'd be good for us to hopefully get behind them and support them all.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
The Governor-General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, it's 6:44 on a Wednesday morning. Let's get him on, Roo.
Yes, the Prime Minister, Big Mal.
Good morning to you, Roo. Hello to you, Dits.
Hello.
And to you, Mel. And to everybody in Adelaide, you may as well jump. I love that song.
Felt like it yesterday after a long weekend, but we're back today, Big Mal. What did you get up to?
Well, we love it, don't we? A shortened week. What I do on the Queen's birthday long weekend is I ponder when the old battle axe is going to die.
Right.
She is getting on.
Yep.
Look at Prince Philip. I mean, he has clearly lost the will to die. I've had him in the office Deadpool for 3 years running with no results.
Right. That's unfair.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been a big fan of the royal family because I'm a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Remember way back when I had things to say rather than just lurching from crisis to bad idea and back again?
Mm.
Salad days, my friend, salad days. But no, I won't be getting a gong on any Queen's birthday long weekend because I hate them as much as they hate me.
Right,
inbred bunch of pommy yahoos. That's what I'm saying. That's who I really am.
Right, eh? Hey, citizenship. Now, you've announced a test. Will be. Are you going to make it harder so we clamp down on these extremists? Is that right?
We are going to make it a more relevant test to the mood of the modern world, more exacting in terms of what you believe, and more Australian. You'll be asked to fashion a flag into an item of apparel, be it a cape, a turban, a natty scarf.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also accept a cravat and an arm wrap.
Budgie smugglers?
In fact, you could make the flag into some budgie smugglers. Then, given some coloured ink creams and asked to paint your face correspondingly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it gets difficult and controversial.
Mm.
We will be asking people to have a few Bundys and Cokes and then run in thong. If you can do that, then welcome
you
to Australia.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well and truly Australian.
Hey, Big Mel, I had a little whisper yesterday out and about that we could be going back to the polls as early as next year.
Kidding.
You're confident, are you?
Wow. It makes my heart sink, the idea of it. It went well for Theresa May, didn't it, in the UK?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be disrespectful. She is a fellow Tory, and we do love crushing the poor.
Mm.
But her head does look like it could cut iron, doesn't it? I tell you what, there are some sharp angles on that bond. But I loathe the idea of an early election, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'd rather get Tit Shorten over to Point Piper, put him in the spa and watch his boobies bounce around in the bubble. That's how much I hate the idea of going to an early election.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
Now, I've had the 90s randomizer in the Bentley Selector this week.
Yes.
And the Offspring have been popping up with Come Out to Play.
Right.
Yay.
What a terrific song.
Great song.
They keep them separated.
Mm.
And if they catch you slipping, then it's all over, pal. If one guy's colours and the others don't mix, they're going to bash it up, bash it up, bash it up, bash it up. Hey, man, you're talking back to me? Take him out. You've got to keep them separated.
Right. Oh, good on you, Big Mel. I'll have a sing-along with you.
Stuff.
Now, where are you rocking this week?
Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Wayville.
Oh,
yeah. The harness racing is coming back to Wayville, which is terrific to see. Middle-aged men in pyjamas flogging a horse. Great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. Good on you, Big Mel. Have a good week.
Good on you, Triple M. Rocks Adelaide.
Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6.53, a couple of major incidents in the suburbs of Adelaide overnight. Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Amanda Backman's out on the streets of Adelaide. Amanda, good morning. First of all, you're at Hyde Park this morning. What's happened?
Yeah, so Unley Road at Hyde Park, there is a tattoo parlour there, and it seems that at some point during the night, somebody might have broken in and then set the place on fire. And if you can picture it, it's on the western side of the road, sort of as you're heading into the city, that's on the left-hand side. It's a block of shops, and there are some units or flats up above. We think that maybe one of those premises up the top could be the tattoo parlour, because down the bottom there is a high tea and cake place. So fire is called here around 1:40. There were some people who were upstairs, perhaps one who was directly above the building that was on fire and some others who were next door. But they were all evacuated safely from the building, so they're okay. Fire cause investigators have been back here this morning. Originally it was called in. They thought it could have been some sort of firebomb. Police are now saying they're pretty sure somebody might have broken in and then set it on fire.
Right.
Damage there, $300,000. Particularly terrible for the, obviously, the owners of the businesses and the home. There's one above that's been damaged. And we've seen this morning fire is bringing out buckets of water from the cake shop. So awful for them and will be just terrible for their business.
You don't know who owns the tattoo shop, do we? Or there's
not
any
personally,
tensions
I don't.
In the air?
No.
You don't frequent there, no.
No, I don't know. And it's no, but I mean, obviously, awful for them as well because it is a business they're trying to run.
Yep, for sure. Now, the other incident overnight, an unfortunate, a man has lost his life.
Oh, this is just terrible because when you set off to work, you know, you expect that you will get home safely.
Mm.
So this happened at about 9:30 last night down at Aylifts Road at St Mary's. Now, Aylifts Road is that sort of hill that comes down to the intersection of South Road and Shepherd's Hill Road.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it was down somewhere on that hill. The construction site seems to be down towards that South Road intersection. Police were called and emergency services were called with reports a man was caught under a crane. He's a 35-year-old man from Plimpton, and unfortunately they couldn't save his life. So just so awful for his family and his friends, and also for his work colleagues there. So that is now major crash was there overnight. The road was closed, but we've been down there this morning and it's all back open again. But now police are working with Safe Work SA and they'll prepare a report for the coroner. But just awful for everybody who knows
That is terrible. Now, do you happen to know, did the crane shift or something whilst it was being used? Do you know any of those details?
We don't know those details. No. And in fact, when we were down there this morning, we actually couldn't see a crane kind of in that immediate vicinity. They were all a bit further away down on South Road. So whether the crane had been moved, we're not sure. But we do know that it's obviously just horrible.
Yep. Good on you. Thank you, Amanda. Thanks so much. Amanda Backman from Channel 7 Sunrise. She made a good point, Roo. Can you imagine you go to work and you expect to have a nice day at work and talk to your mates and then come home at night? It's just very, very unfair. That's terrible. No.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Roo and Dids. Pressure test.
Right now we're playing for $500, Roo.
We are. Let's go to Marlon. G'day, Marco.
How are you?
Good, buddy. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You been trying to get through for a while?
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right. What are you up to today?
I'm heading for my morning coffee on the run and then going to open up my workshop.
Whoa. Oh. What sort of workshop are you running?
Crash repair.
Yeah, good stuff. Beautiful. Now, I've got told a little stat the other day. I said, you need a little bit of rain around to get to the accidents up. And they said, well, you'd be surprised you actually have more prangs when it's good weather because people are out cruising.
Yeah.
No, good positive story, Roo. That's good.
That's true. Right. Trying to drum the bloke up a bit of business.
Come on, start crashing out there, everyone, please. Let's try and win Marco $500, shall we?
Yeah, good positive story. All right, Marco, you ready?
Yep.
10 answers in 30 seconds to get the 500. Give us 10 things you plug in.
Phone charger, battery pack, kettle, toaster, microwave, fridge, oven, freezer, clock radio, TV, video, Foxtel remote, Foxtel box.
Righto, shelf.
Video.
Righto. Let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Well done, mate. Thanks. Smashed it. Probably a record, in fact. I reckon you got about 13 there.
Yeah.
Well, I said if I get on and win any money, I want to donate it to charity.
Oh,
good
Marco.
On you. So what are you going to do?
Just a kids' charity. Anyone you guys can pick.
All right, we'll pick that out and we'll get back to you. Okay. We'll announce it at 8 o'clock, Marco, and you can tell people to listen. We'll give you a plug and we'll think of a good charity. So
what a champion.
As long as it's a kids' charity, we'll find a good home for it, Marco. Good man.
No worries.
Oh, you're a good fella.
Thanks.
Well done.
Well
good
done,
on you,
Marco.
Buddy.
Hey, tell us about your crash repair business. Which one is it?
Well, it's just down the road from Roo's Pub, actually. I'll go there on Fridays for a drink. St. Peter's Crash Repair.
Oh, St. Peter's. All right. Good on you, mate. Yeah. Well done, Marco. You're a good man.
No, that's all right. No worries.
Good on you, mate.
That.
Good fella.
Thanks.
Good. Generous Italian fellow.
Isn't that nice?
$500. We'll work that out. And
he did it well. He did it easily.
Yeah.
What can we give Marco, Wag? Have we got any prizes for Marco?
Yep.
What about some footy tickets?
We usually give away Karen's vouchers for people. Do you want to do that?
John Karen, he'll run off the road if
we'll
give another one away.
For Marco.
We will do something for Marco because he's a good lad. Yep. Well done. And just a reminder, $5,000 coming up at 8 o'clock.
Triple M. Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartland and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time. Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, he's come bounding into the studio. How are you, Hammer?
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Oh, gee. Now, is that just one that we forget and move on, or is it just one of those nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you certainly don't forget about it. You do everything you can to learn from it and get better, which we've done over the last couple of days. But, yeah, we don't think it's a real accurate sort of reflection of where we're at as a group. Just a night where not many things went right for us.
I said to Roo, it was like that Crows North Melbourne first quarter, really. And that's what it looked like. Hang on, we're just not ready and haven't sort of switched on yet. And
yeah, we sort of made a focus of getting a decent start, which I think most teams do. But to Essendon's credit, they put us under a fair amount of pressure in the midfield in particular, and made it difficult for us defenders. And they kicked a few pretty handy goals
as well.
Yeah. But yeah, it was... it was tough to stop that sort of momentum.
It wasn't just the first quarter. It went on for the whole game, though, didn't it? Because the gap got wider, I think. But that's what's happening. There's sides that are on the up for whatever reason, draw, training, hardness of games or whatever, and there's sides that are tired. And the whole side looked like that on the weekend. Didn't look like they had any leg speed. And it was totally different, too, because you hadn't played a bad game all year. I think it was only one real quarter against GWS where you got they sort of got you late. But other than that, every game you'd been in it. So that was really was one out of the blue. How did Hinkley handle it after the game and since then in the review?
You know, we sort of gave a pretty honest appraisal of our own performances in the change rooms after the game. Kenny was... just trying to find answers from us, I guess, as a playing group as to why we sort of felt that way or played that way. And we sort of discussed a bit about our preparation.
If it was just preparation, you would have changed it at quarter time. I reckon you would have got a rocket at quarter time and you would have come back and won the second quarter, but couldn't turn it around. Were they that good or were you?
Probably a combination of both. They played some very, very good footy. We sort of broke down in a few areas. Certainly our structures around the contest weren't how they have been for the rest of the season. You know, we couldn't get our offense going real well either. Defensively, we let them through the corridor too many times, and that made life pretty difficult as a defensive group. So, you know, there were plenty of areas that we broke down in. But as I mentioned, we don't think it's a real reflection of where we're at as a group.
Now, I don't know if it's just a bit of paper talk this morning or what, but Ken has been quoted as saying, "I'll make a couple of changes at least this week." Does he come in and, you know, yell the place down and say, "There will be changes this week," or how's he gone about it?
No, look, Kenny's been really open to us all year about saying that he really wants to reward the guys in the SNFL that are playing well. And, you know, the boys had a 20-odd goal victory on the weekend, and we lost by
huge
by, you know, 10 goals or whatever it was. So, you know, immediately you put yourself in the firing line as an entire group in the AFL when the SNFL guys are in really good form. So those changes will be made over the next day or two, and we'll wait and see what happens as a result.
Well, your captain, back page of the paper today, says you can win the flag. We're going to ask Hamish Hartlett about that next. Hammer joins us thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Triple M. Comwire IT, complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartlett, and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Hammer, back page of the paper this morning. Travis Boak, your captain, says we can win it. That's the headline. I said to Roo, I actually like it when players and captains come out and say this sort of thing. He's not saying we will win the flag, but he's saying obviously that at your best, you're good enough.
Yeah, you know, and he's mentioned you know, defence is the key to success, and I think in the last since the new finals systems come into play over the last decade or so. You know, it's the teams that have been really good defensively. I think finish, you know, top four in points against are the ones that generally go on to, you know, a prelim or a grand final and give themselves the best opportunity. So I think we've been really, really strong in that area, you know, minus the little hiccup on the weekend. But once we get back on track in that area, you know, we can give ourselves a real chance.
18th, 17th and 16th on the ladder, one on the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Is it Crows are the only side in the top eight that won?
Yeah.
And we had the earlier
is that
on,
right?
Yeah, and we had earlier on in the year all nine sides that played sides higher than on the ladder won. Mm. So all the nine lowest sides won. It's been an amazing year. And Brisbane this week, you got them. So you can't just assume you're going to rock up and beat them because they actually played quite well on the weekend.
Yeah, they're coming off a 10-goal win as well. So, you know, it's great for the spectator in terms of you know, how tight and unpredictable the season can be. As a player, You know, you just got to be on your game the whole time, 100% of the time, because you'll get found out if you're not, like we did on the weekend. And, you know, Brisbane are coming off a strong win as well. So they'll come over chock-a-block full of confidence. It's another good challenge for us.
There's nothing in the statement. Ditz brought it up yesterday. You haven't beaten a side in the top eight yet. Yep. You've been competitive against them, though. I mean, the Crows game, for one, could have went either way if Sam Gray kicked the goal right in the goal square at the end. I thought you probably would have won the game, but you're the only side in the comp that hasn't been a top eight side. Mm. That needs to be the next tick for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've it's something that we need to tick off, and I think once we are capable of doing that, or once we do that, then the group will gain an enormous amount of confidence, and I think away we'll go. But you know, we've put in some really strong performances against some of those really top quality sides. We just haven't managed to get over the line, but we look forward to the next time we get that opportunity.
Well, the Geelong game was fantastic as well. Last kick, GWS to 3/4 time. You were very, very good.
Yeah, and West Coast, you know, arguably should have won that one as well. So, been in the game, but you know, on the weekend was a bit of a hiccup. But, bounce back up this weekend for sure.
How do you go with social media? Everyone suffers from it in this sort of job and your sort of job, I suppose.
People are turning off.
How do you go with it?
Look, I get a fair laugh out of a lot of the stuff on social media, but there's a lot of...
At other people's expense or at your
not
own?
Not necessarily, just stupid videos and whatnot that are floating around. But and my own, actually. There was a ripper from the weekend that popped up on Facebook just recently. But yeah, look.
Why, about you?
Yeah, about me and Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, making me look real stupid in the back pocket there.
Well, you got to laugh about it.
Yeah, I'm happy to laugh at my own expense. That's no worries. But there's a lot of negative sort of criticism and people just saying things out of the blue about you as a person and as a footy player that I think subconsciously just kind of can wear you down after a while. So as much as we like to say, you know, it doesn't affect us and whatever, you don't worry about that sort of stuff, I think, you know, deep down it can get to you after a little while. So
Carrie Bickmore was crying on TV as a result of it last night on the project. So it definitely affects all different types of people.
That's right. Yeah, so as a result, I sort of got rid of Twitter about 6 months ago, and that wasn't even because I was getting abused or harassed or whatever. It was actually as a result of some comments that were made over Jarman Impey after his little pre-season indiscretion.
Yep.
And just what people were saying about him. I just thought, nah, this is rubbish, and I'd love to be able to bite back and say what I really think. But
you feel better for not being on there?
Yeah, I think it's relieved a bit of stress and a bit of tension for sure. And the real reason I've got Facebook, to be honest, is just to have a look at some of the obscure and bizarre stuff that's floating around that give me a cheap laugh from time to time. You know, that's basically good. The only reason I've got it. So more and more people are starting to jump off, I think, which is sad in a way, but if it makes them feel better about themselves, and go for it.
Mm. Nah, well said. Hammer, good luck taking on Brisbane this week. As you said, look, they won't be easy. They won by 10 goals last week, so let's hope the boys can bounce back this weekend.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, boys.
Well done, good on you, mate. Hamish Hartlett for Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Harness racing back to Waverley. Yeah. What's that going to be?
Beautiful,
back
yeah.
Back to the city
it.
Instead of heading out to Globe Derby. That's going to happen in October.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Now, you come in this morning just quickly. You look a little bit sad. And your eyes are a little bit red. And you'd lost your keys. I don't know. Were
lost
your eyes
my car
red
keys.
From crying or?
The
or
pressure, yep.
Pressure. Have you found your car keys?
Found my car keys. My wife's just texted me. The lucky Kate has just texted.
Were they at the Crafers? Were they at Triple M? Were they at the gym? Were they
I got
at
Kate
Port
to pick
Adelaide?
Me up, I got Kate to pick me up on her way home last night because I'd do the right thing. Left my car where it was and I couldn't find my car keys this morning.
Right.
So and
thought you left them at the Crafers in the car park?
She's found them. They were in the back door.
Oh, no.
Well.
They're in the back door.
Yeah.
Why were you coming in the back door?
Well, because Kate was giving me a lift home, so I had my keys in my pocket, so I must have opened the door, and I've left them there all night. So that's where they were. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I found them.
But you couldn't quite remember that this morning.
You can stop looking, everyone. I found them.
So the burglar out there, you just look at the back door.
Yeah, but, see, if they're going to get in, didn't have to break a window then.
That's why you left it there. Make it easy.
If they're going to get in, they'll get in. It's the old adage. Make it easier for them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they smash things.
Yeah, you're one step ahead.
So I've got my keys.
One
Thank
step
you.
Ahead. Hamish Hartlett up next.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 18 today and sunny, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. Rue, this story makes me angry. I've got to tell you, every time this raises its head, I just shake my head and think, I cannot believe this. Power prices, this is the headline, set to rise by 18% for AGL customers in South Australia. But you've told me a story that's far worse than this.
Well, in some areas it's actually going to go up a lot more than that. Look, we haven't spoken about power for a little while. It's been quite quiet on the power front. But it's about to get a bit ugly and it's going to hurt every single person.
But you're saying your business and some businesses out there will rise by 50%.
Yep.
Now, people listening, I made this point to you this morning. Some people will say, oh, but if you own pubs, you know, you're wealthy and you can afford it and rah, rah, rah. Well, no, it gets passed on to everybody. And it's not just pubs. It'll mean, like you said,
if
you shop at Kmart, if you go to Target, everything you do, if you go to the petrol station, everything you do in your life now that involves power, we will all pay for it. It will get passed on
in
to us.
In so many different ways.
It's going to cost us a fortune.
Whether it's through the schooner or your schnitzel at a pub or whether it's the shoes you buy,
correct,
the clothes you buy,
everything.
What it costs to go and buy a bucket of chips, absolutely anything that you do. And it's going to cost jobs. It has to cost jobs at the end of the day.
All right. So what does this mean? The pressure now on welfare in Australia and the people out there that are doing it a little bit tougher. The South Australian Council of Social Service are right across this, and their CEO, Ross Walmsley, joins us. Ross, good morning.
Morning, boys.
This headline is absolutely outrageous. Is it accurate, do you think?
There's no doubt it's accurate, and the real question is how much, particularly for some households, they're going to end up paying, as well as how much businesses are going to end up paying. And so the really important thing is that people use this opportunity to take a rain check and explore whether there are any potential savings available to them by shopping around is probably the first and most important thing to do.
Just to minimise the damage, but from where I'm talking about from a business point of view, we've got people out there who look at this obviously very closely, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's just something we're going to have to cop, whether you're a pub owner or any sort of business owner. I'm not bringing it up to say poor publican. I'm bringing it up to show what it will happen, because it's going to cost not only power bills at home for the elderly or for people on minimum wage or anyone, but it's going to actually has to flow on to loss of jobs, or certainly loss of profit for businesses, which is going to affect every single person in the community. And that's not overplaying it. Unless I've got it wrong, I just don't understand how this is going to lead to a lesser quality of life.
Yeah, no, you're quite right, Rhee. It will create these extra pressures, and I suppose that's one of the things that we're going to have to bear. There's no future way without extra expenses, and part of the reason AGL are building these price increases in at this point in time is because our wholesale prices have been going up so much, and because there's been such uncertainty in the energy market about what's going to happen in the future. And so that's all of that discussion that we've heard going on in recent times about clean energy targets and emissions trading schemes and emissions intensity schemes, carbon prices. That's all been about trying to work out a pathway for Australia to move towards a low emissions future. And no way forward is going to come without extra costs one way or another.
Ross, sorry to interrupt. I'm just reading that Tom Koutsantonis has said that this is unsustainable. So he's spoken out against AGL. I take it your organisation isn't happy either. Are you all sitting around a round table discussion at the moment trying to find a solution for this? What's the next step?
Well, I guess there are very few steps at one level. There's only a certain number of levers, and one of the things that we have to get urgently resolved is policy, energy policy, so that in fact our businesses, our energy businesses and retailers and the generators can have clear understandings about how the future energy market is going to unfold, and they can then start making investment decisions on the back of that they believe will be fulfilled. That way, we're more likely to get a settled market, wholesale prices should drop, and that should result in less pressure on retailers to increase their prices.
With our lower socioeconomic areas out there, how tough is it at the moment? Have you noticed an increase in perhaps homelessness and these sorts of issues?
The real killer at this time of year is that we see an increase in the number of people who have their electricity and energy disconnected.
Yep.
And of course, that means that they don't have the protection. And of course, the last couple of weeks, we've seen one of the coldest starts to winter on record, I think.
Yep.
So anyone who hasn't got access to their electricity is going to have a really hard time at this point in the year. And we know that it's 40 to 50 households a week in South Australia that are being disconnected at the moment.
That many?
Yes. So it's not a nothing issue. It's a really serious issue.
Mm.
And I guess we've been saying to people like the state government, we think that this is why you need to get the concession that's available to low-income households fit for purpose. At the moment, it's a fixed rate concession. It actually needs to be a percentage of the bill concession. And so we'd be hoping in the budget in next week that the state government moves to address that. We also think that it's an opportunity for people. We're encouraging people to think about shopping around at this point in time. There is quite a helpful website called Energy Made Easy.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, it's not too hard to get through, and it will take you through answering a series of fairly simple questions. Make sure you've got your bill there with you when you're doing it, because they'll want to know how much you've been using.
Yep.
Sit through the 6 or 7 questions, and they will generate a list of examples of current retailers in South Australia who are providing the kind of energy use that you need and the prices for that. And you'll be surprised at what a gap there might be between the bottom offer and the top offer.
All right. Ross, thanks so much for talking to us this morning. Ross Walmsley is the CEO of South Australian Council of Social Service. So Energy Made Easy, that's if you've still got your power on, Ruth. Plug your computer in and go and do it.
And if it's for the people like that, absolutely go for it and try and get your best deal. But what about the little bloke who's got a small business down the road, a little butcher shop, or whether it's a bigger business, whether it's BHP at Roxby Downs or whatever? This is really going to hurt. Well, I'm not trying to overplay this, but
I
can tell from my own personal thing. You can't give wage increases like you'd like to do, what you'd want to do, and then therefore there's less money in people's pockets to go and spend on their kids, on their family, on themselves.
So what's the answer here? 133353. Ruth, I know nothing about economics, all right, but I'm just a voter like everyone else. I actually, this came up for me when the banks said recently, the increased pressure on the banks, they'll pass it on to us, the consumer or the customer. I actually think the government needs to step in with a wealth tax and say, if you make $5 billion a year, I think it's a bit excessive. Similar here with AGL. I actually think we need to say to the AGLs of this world, you show us your bottom line. You show us what you're making. How much is enough? Seriously. Yeah,
that's not the problem it is. It's the cost of power. It's not that. It's the cost of the power that's coming in. We haven't got power anymore. We shut the power stations down. So the power we've got coming in is expensive. There's not enough power.
Hang on. How all of a sudden does it cost more to generate power?
Well, we haven't got the power station, so we're getting it from Victoria. They've just shut their power station down. So you're relying on solar and wind. It's more expensive. That's why it costs more money.
I don't see how it's more expensive.
Well, without getting into it, it is. It is. It's all for green targets. That's what he just said. And we were hell-bent on getting our emissions down, which is all well and good for the sake of the planet, but it comes at a cost. And that cost is what's driving these prices up.
All right. Well, I want to ask more questions to an expert
on that
very topic.
I'm not saying they're not making good profits, by the way, either. No. But that's not the number one issue.
Well, that needs to be monitored. Their profits need to be monitored from where I sit. That's my little 2 cents worth. 133353, please have your say. Give us a ring. It's ruined. It's on Triple M.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here at Triple M.
It's now even bigger. Every weekday at 8 a.m., we play. for $5,000.
We are going to give a lucky listener every day at 8 o'clock the chance to win $5,000.
Triple M's 5K pressure test. Now, 8 a.m. Monday to Friday. With Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Pressure test, eh?
104.7.
We are doing the 5K pressure test. Unbelievable.
Triple M.
7:29 it is, taking calls on power.
Let's go to Mount Pleasant. G'day, Brett.
G'day, Roy. How are you, mate?
Good. What's your thoughts on the electricity prices going up?
Well, Roy, I work for a company called Westside Energy, and we're looking at taking 11 pubs off grid metro. So we use a combination of baseload power, which is generated in natural gas or diesel.
Yep.
And then mix it with renewables and basically lower your power costs. At the moment, it's around about half of what the grid is, but with the price rise, it's going to be considerably less.
Right, that's interesting.
I built my first prototype last year up at Swan Reach.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a couple of pubs around the corner from you. We'll probably look at doing it fairly shortly.
So any businesses out there could use your product?
Yeah, primarily. Look, there's some points where it probably gets expensive, but the more power you use, basically, it decreases. Like the return on investment.
So the bigger places are more suitable for your one.
Yeah.
Okay. And you came up with this yourself, Brett?
Yeah.
Oh, good on you.
Good luck with that, mate.
Bit of innovation. Yeah. Hey, mate, I'd be happy for you to report back to us in a few months and tell us how it's going.
Yeah, look, I'll send you an email on the one we built up at Swan Reach.
Yeah.
All right. Good work.
Very good.
Good work, Brett. Well done.
Well done.
And good people stuff. Are going to come up with ideas like this out of necessity, aren't they? So good work. Let's go to Victor Harbour. G'day, Ellie.
Howdy, Roo. How are you?
What's your thoughts on the power prices?
I'd be questioning where the prices or the cost of active tree services is coming from.
What do you mean?
Well, the people that SA Power Networks employs to trim the trees around the power lines and the cost of them, and who does that get passed on to? The customers.
Right. Okay. You've lost me a little bit. I'm just trying to turn my brain on. Enough.
Ellie, when people like you ring this show and make too much sense, Ellie, you've left us behind. You've got to make these things.
I think she's saying even people, they're charging us to cut the trees for their power lines.
Right, she's going too fast. Maybe. Bennett Henley Beach. Hello, Ben.
G'day, boys. I just can't understand why we just don't go nuclear and just be done with a lot of this stuff. We had an independent inquiry in relation to it all. And they came out and said, it's not financially viable to build a nuclear power station in South Australia. Well, a third of our power goes to Roxby Downs to the mine there.
Mm.
And, you know, when you've got nuclear power up north, you've then got the facilities to a desal plant up there, which they need a lot of water to do their processing as well. We can sell the power back to Victoria. Because we're already on a grid, we can reverse the grid back there, and we can start making some money. We can actually get cheap power.
If it was possible, it'd be fantastic. If we knew it was safe, and we could somehow afford it,
the public voted against it, didn't they?
Perhaps we shouldn't listen to them.
Yeah, Ben should be prime minister. With this sort of thinking. Sonia at Flagstaff Hill. G'day, Sonia.
Hey guys, how you going?
Good, thank you.
I think that businesses and personal households should be given more incentive to tap into renewable and green energy.
Yep.
There's a lot of things out there that we can be doing to get a good mix of both and bring down the price of the collective.
Hmm. Okay, so what, you want the government to pay for that?
I think there's a lot of private companies out there that are trying to put in the infrastructure to tap into things like Tesla's forward thinking with giving out energy, and a lot of the councils are putting it down because you still need to put in the infrastructure to tap into their electricity, regardless of if you've got a good viable way of renewable energy.
Okay, well, I think they're working on all those sort of options at the moment, so thanks, Sonia. Let's go to Felix though. G'day, Paul.
How you going, Ruin Dits, mate? You know the real reason, mate, the guy didn't tell you before, mate, we export our gas overseas cheaper and we pay for it. That's why the gas turbines they want to put on, that's why we're going to pay 18%. He didn't tell you the real truth.
The gas prices, they're locked into some contracts, aren't they?
No, they sell it cheaper to people overseas than they sell it to us in Australia. That's why. That's the real truth.
Well, why would they be doing that? That doesn't make sense at all, does
true,
it?
It's true, man. It's true from Santos. When you know people in high places, that's where it's going. That's why we're paying 18%. That's why it's going to say 18% higher.
Mm. All right. Thanks, Paul. Some good points of view there, Roo, and some good suggestions. But I don't see any quick fix coming soon.
There's no quick fix.
All we've got to do is keep whinging to each other and make each other feel better and get it off our chest.
We might have to put the meat in the meat safe.
I know.
Go back to those days.
That's right.
Candles, Caro.
Yep.
And warm beer.
Gee, I feel for everyone. I feel for big business out there. I feel for
small people business. That get employed by big business.
Oh, look, this is terrible. This is a terrible situation.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:29. Well, we're all very excited about this story, Roo. We're reading in the paper this morning the Trots are coming back to Wavell. Let's find out more. The CEO of Harness Racing SA is a good mate of ours, John Lewis. Good morning, John.
Morning, Roo. Dits, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Couldn't sleep last night, John. Could not sleep.
I heard you're camping outside Wavell.
Yes,
yeah, I am. Right. I want to be the number one ticket holder. How long have you been working on this for?
It's been probably in our thoughts for at least 6 months, but certainly the last couple of months we've been starting the planning for it. There's always been speculation about it, guys, but really the serious planning started a couple of months ago. The board signed off on it, which was tremendous. And, so the work's well underway. We've been having discussions with the Show Society for probably the last couple of months as well. We did some trials at the Royal Adelaide Show last year.
Right.
Just some runaround races, which were very popular. So, guys, we think it'll be the biggest event for our code probably in 50 years. And, you know, it'll be the hottest ticket in town, particularly in late October. So it's on Friday, the 27th of October, night before, in the middle of the spring carnival too, which is tremendous.
It's a massive night of racing, that too.
Yeah, well, that's right. William Reid Stakes night, Cox Plate next day. So we're expecting a crowd of in excess of 10,000. We're ambitious. But as you know, this is just a historic event.
I think you'll get it easily. Now, what about the infrastructure? Is everything in place at Wavell? Do you have to do much?
Yeah, there's quite a bit to do, but a lot of the racing infrastructure, well, the track's there, but obviously we've already started work on that, so we've got a lot of expertise in the industry, track experts who can provide that advice. The chairman of Stewart's, Ross Neal, has done an inspection of the track already and produced a report for the board. So there's quite a bit of infrastructure still to do, but the main elements of the infrastructure are there. So it's a small track, and that's one of the reasons I think Harness Racing left there. But I think we need to go back in history, guys. As you know, in the early 70s, I think everyone was leaving the city. Footy moved out, the Trots moved out.
Yep.
And it was probably one of the worst things to happen. We lost, I think, a big part of our audience. So I think it's just tremendous we're moving back for this meeting anyway.
John, is there a possibility that it'll come back full-time? From the outside looking, it looks like a simple decision to bring it back. Everything's coming back to the city. We've seen what Adelaide Oval's done for footy. Could it come back? Could you chop up around Globe Derby and sell it off for residential real estate and make hopefully a stack of money, put money back into the sport, put money back into Wavell Showgrounds and have a little boutique stadium that, whether you really like the Trots or not, you just want something to do on a Friday or Saturday night, you could bob over there and have a meal and a few drinks and have a night at the Trots.
Well, Roo, it's certainly a possibility because as both you guys know, 10 years ago, no one thought footy would be returning to the city, to Adelaide Oval. So you'd never say never. I think it really depends on the success of this night. I mean, we don't own the land at Globe Derby. That's owned by the South Australian Harness Racing Club. But I think everyone will be watching this event very, very closely to gauge its success.
It'll be huge. I'd bet my life on it.
Yeah, you'll fill it, no doubt.
Well, exactly. And I think there certainly is an appetite within the community for the Trots to return back to the city. There's a lot of people down south, for example, in the southern part of Adelaide, that basically lost interest in the Trots once they left Wavell because they wouldn't come up north. So, look, we'll just wait and see. I mean, we're just hoping for a really successful event, and then we'll take it from there. And the government's come on board, which is tremendous. I met with Leon Bignall a few weeks ago. They're providing some funding, which is wonderful. And so you're right. I mean, there's been speculation also about Victoria Park and a move back there for the thoroughbreds. So certainly, as you guys know, there's strong interest in bringing a lot of sport back to the city.
You've also got the trams and the trains at Wavell too, John, which is a big bonus.
Well, exactly, Dits. And we think on a Friday night, the after-work crowd, people can catch a tram from down the bay, catch a train from the city, wherever they are, So we think there's, you know, a huge amount of interest in the event, just the fact that it's just so well serviced by public transport. The grandstands there are just magnificent. You guys have been there. It's just so much history there. It's like walking into like an old museum in a way. And as I said, the races we had during the Royal Show last year, albeit just run around till practices, were... We had 10,000. There was nearly 10,000 each night watching that.
Good stuff.
Go full steam ahead, mate. This will be brilliant.
Yeah, I think it'll be terrific, and it'd be great to get you guys along. We think it'll be the hottest ticket in town. There's not a lot on that time of year. And the Friday night, there'll be full TAB facilities. There's big screens. It's going to be a retro night, so back to the 70s, so you can get out your flares, guys. And
beautiful.
There'll be fashions on the field, a lot of non-racing entertainment, so it's really going to be a 70s back to the 70s retro night and some great racing.
Dollar notes and $2 notes and things like that.
That's right. Hey, good on you, John. Good luck with it. We think it's a great positive announcement. Well done.
Thanks again, guys. Appreciate
good on you. John Lewis is the CEO of Harness Racing SA. Roo, they will fill the joint.
I hope that's just the start of it. This can't be a once-off. This needs to be permanent.
Like you said, I hope a lot of the officers in town just say, right, let's go after work as a group, get on the tram, head down there. Beautiful.
People who weren't going to the Twilight Races at Victoria Park for the racing.
Nah.
They were going because it's night in the
out.
City.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. So it'll work and it should be there permanently.
Looking forward to it. It's Ruined It's here on Triple M thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Pressure. So much pressure.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here at Triple M.
It's now even bigger.
Oh, the pressure. I can't take it.
Triple M's 5K pressure test with Ruined It's for breakfast.
Ah, we're doing it every morning this week, $5,000. It used to be just Fridays. Now it's each morning, Roo.
Sure is. And we've got three lucky listeners out there who are going to pick the best one to have a shot for $5,000. Let's get stuck into it. Luke from Murray Bridge, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you?
What are you up to today, Luke?
Chasing the dogs ass, trying to earn a crust, mate.
Chasing the dogs?
Chasing the dogs ass, trying to earn a crust.
Right. I thought that's what you said. We might go to Camden Park. G'day, Fiona.
Hello, how you going?
Good, thanks. Fiona, what are you up to today?
It's my husband's birthday today, so I'm going out for lunch today.
Oh, where are you heading?
We're heading to Glenelg.
Oh, nice. Lovely. Good work. Fiona, good stuff. Hope you have a lovely day. Let's go to Glenalter. G'day, Danny.
How you going, boys?
What are you up to today, Danny? Give us a good one.
Well, I'm working on my birthday, mate.
Oh, what are you doing?
Making blinds up at Blackwood.
Okay. On your birthday?
Yeah, so Jim and I like you, Roo.
Right. How old are you today?
You're getting old. 49.
49. All right, it's your choice.
Righto. I'm going with Fiona. Camden Park.
Oh.
What'd she say? Righto.
Righto. $5,000 could be coming your way, Fiona. That's the great news.
Yeah.
Good news is you could also mess it up if you choke and can't handle the pressure.
Roo, positive.
No, I'm just saying I think she's going to get it. This is very, very gettable, Fiona. You've got us on a good day and we want to give it away and you can get this. All right, now you need to give us 10 correct answers. You're only going to get $10 for everyone less than 10, okay? Not 100.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Mel, we got the button ready to push?
You should be. You've been talking to her for 5 minutes.
All right. We're holding it up for $5,000 here. I can smell it going off, Fiona. Give me 10 suburbs and towns in South Australia, starting with B.
Okay. Blackwood. Brompton. Croydon.
Quiet in the background.
Burnside, Bloor Park, Beverley, Brighton.
All right, that's it. Time.
Time's up. Right on.
All right, we'll count them up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
Right, Fiona.
Not bad, Fiona.
That'll pay for lunch. $70.
$70.
No worries.
Well done, good try.
Well done, Fiona from Camden Park.
What else could we add there? Barmer, Blanchetown.
Berry.
Berry.
Beaumont.
Beaumont.
Beulah Park.
Brighton North, Brighton South.
Yeah. Bellevue Heights.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
Brahma Lodge.
Yeah.
Beverly, did we have that?
Yeah, she said Beverly.
Did she?
Yeah.
It's tough, though.
Yeah.
but it's gettable.
I thought it was very gettable. Mm.
But
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Our mate in Sydney who does the breakfast show with the grill team, Gus Wallen. We spoke to him earlier this year and I think late last year, who was doing a wonderful series on the ABC about mental health. And gee, it had a massive impact on a lot of people in our age group.
Well, we're all learning so much about it. We continually learn something about it every day, every week, every year, whether it's mates, whether it's family, whether it's yourself. So we thought we'd get Gus on to talk a little bit more about what he's got installed.
Well, he's taking this to another level. He's about to launch something new. Gus, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Dits. Good morning, Ruth. Thanks for having me on again, boys.
That's right. Now, tell us about this. On the strength of your TV series, you are taking this another step, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I've got to tell you, when I spoke to you boys end of last year about Man Up, it took a real effect on me. It took 18 months to film it, and I just realised what a problem we've got in Australia. The number one way to lose your life if you're an Australian male between the ages of 15 and 44 is to take your own life.
Gee.
God.
So that's eight a day, and it was six a day only a couple of years ago. So the problem's getting worse, even though there's a lot of really great people out there doing wonderful jobs trying to stop it. So at the end of Man Up, I had a lady contact me at Triple M in Sydney, and just take this one for a second, boys. Think about this. She was a mother of two boys, married, and within about 9 months, she had lost her husband and two sons to suicide.
What?
No. The father was an absolute ripper, apparently, just one of those real champion blokes everyone loved. And you hear this all the time. Mm. They're running around with a mask on and they're internally just so down and so unhappy, and in the end took his own life. And then the sons loved him so much they couldn't live without him. So it was a horrible story. And we met and had a cup of tea and we became good mates. She said, I've got $300,000 that I would like to give to try to stop this happening so no other family have to go through it. And I stood there and I went, well, I don't know what to do with that, and I don't know how to make that sort of work. So it got me thinking. And the only way you can really make it work in Australia is if you come up with a charitable foundation. So you give all the money that you get to certain areas of mental health, and then away you go. So that started the process. So this week on Mental Health Week, I'm launching a foundation called Gotcha for Life, which is two men having a hug. Because every proper conversation that you have normally ends up now with someone having a hug, not just a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
The first $300,000 is going into a couple of different things. The first one being a scholarship program for Lifeline, because if you ring up Lifeline, 75% of the people who answer the phone will be a lady. And nearly 100% of blokes don't want to talk to a lady when they're feeling that down. So we've got a massive shortage at Lifeline. So I'm going to pay for the training of every Lifeline male who wants to turn up, and we will make sure that we get more males answering the phones. So that's the first thing. Then we want to get it into schools. Young kids at the moment aren't learning what it takes to be a real Aussie man, and they're not showing their emotions, and they're getting to a stage where they're taking their own lives. So there's a couple of different things we're really focusing on. I've got a board that's helping me do it, and it's all tax deductible and all that sort of stuff for businesses who want to get involved. But I just really need to make a stand now, because eight a day is just a disgrace.
Gus, why has it gone from six to eight? Are we hear of social media? I know there's more pressures out there in society. I know illicit drugs might have some sort of role in that as well. What are the actual areas that are causing this?
Yeah, no, Roo, you're absolutely right. All those things are that, as well as just the pressure now on our young kids. You know, if you talk to young kids about life and stuff, most of them, well, certainly, I'm not sure what it's like in Adelaide, but certainly in Sydney, the thought of actually buying a house and having that sort of Australian dream, it's nearly gone for a lot of young kids. They just can't even imagine it. The granny flats are going up in the back of every people's homes because their kids are living there now. Like, it's just really, really difficult. Plus, you get a lot of blokes around our age, that sort of 35 to 50, they get to a stage where they really felt as if their life was going to be one thing and it's turned out to be something else.
Yep.
And they've just got this hardness about them that they just don't want to show any vulnerability. They believe that would be a real weakness. And when you speak to blokes who actually attempt suicide and actually fail, when you talk to them now and they're getting on with their lives, they actually thought that life around them would be better for their loved ones if they were dead.
Yeah, that's they're not thinking, isn't it?
That's a tragedy, isn't it? So if we just get us Aussie blokes to realise that it's actually the manliest thing to do is to actually talk about your feelings. It doesn't mean you have to do it every day, but when you're starting to feel a bit shit, tell someone about it, and that might really help.
Yep, that's brave.
No doubt about it. Gus, good on you, mate. Well done with this work that you're doing. And once again, it's called gotchaforlife.org. We wish you all the best with it. And as you know, mate, you are always welcome to come on and talk about any more of the experiences and hopefully some of the good stories as well that come out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are plenty of dits that are really good blokes that have literally thought it was so bad they tried to take their life and now they're flying. You know, there's a lot of those good stories out there, and let's get our young blokes healthier again. And thanks for your support, boys.
Good on you. Gus Wallen from Triple M Sydney.
Triple M.
Rue, on the weekend, I was down at Goolwa for the long weekend, and as you do, you meet all the good people in bars, don't you?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And sitting there having a quiet wine, and I met this young fella, Nick, and he joins us now. He's got a sad story, but a good story to tell us as well. Nick Manor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dad. How are you, buddy?
Very good, thank you. Now, Nick, we got chatting.
Were you holding him up, Nick?
He was in the end. Nick, we got chatting on the weekend, and you've been through a fair bit. Just tell us your story, please.
Yeah, my story is MND related, motor neuron disease. Yep. Obviously, it's been on the TV a lot with Neil's work and other people. But back in May, 2015, my mother was diagnosed with MND, and as a family and community and friends, we've had a bit of a journey. And Gail Manor, she passed away last November with the illness after 18 months. Down here at Goolwa, being a country community town, they've done brilliant work over the last 3 years to support our family and the cause. And we're coming up to this Saturday having our third M&D football match down here, well, football day and night.
Yep.
And yet again, they've come up with the goods, and we've got a big day sorted for this Saturday.
What's involved, Nick? What's happening down for the day and night?
So what they've done, really, is that pretty much the last 3 years, it's been similar. It's footy orientated during the day with the mini and moddies and the junior and senior colts having a kick, and then the resies in the A grade playing for points. And we're playing against Wollonga this year, and coming to the back nine of the season, it's a big game. And during the day, they have a lot of different raffles and whatnot, and everyone gets out the awareness of the M&D. And I think, like a lot of people in Australia now, if you don't know, yep, those three letters mean you've been under a rock. So it's been very good that way. And the coin we raise goes towards Motor Neuron Disease South Australia, MNDSA, which is obviously a South Australian branch that really come out to your house at first response once you get someone in the family diagnosed. Or whatnot. So it's a great cause. And then at night time, hopefully we get the chocolates, and at night, you know, we have a feed and a have the band on, and we enjoy the community and each other's company and appreciate life.
Beautiful. Sounds good. Sounds like a good day. Nick, I was a bit shocked when I met you and you told me your story, because we have seen so much with Neil Danaher and the publicity it's received, but I haven't met anyone personally that's been afflicted with this. How prevalent do you think it is out there? Have you come across many more people since you've been through this yourself?
Yeah, you do, actually. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, before Mum was diagnosed, I'd never heard of the three letters before.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's 2,000 people, give or take. So it's not a lot of people that have the illness, but because it's such a cruel illness and such a unique illness, you do tend to find out people, the friends of friends and family friends and whatnot know of someone. And you do become a tight-knit community, and you tend to have to stick together. And then seeing the stuff that Neil's done does give you a bit of confidence if you're going through that situation, because you know that people are out there to give you a hand. And that's what happened with the footy club. The first one was pretty much a couple of weeks after our news, the club sort of come together and wanted to do something, and they did the football match, and you know, it's great support for the family. And then the second one, you know, they wanted to make it a big community event, and Mum got the toss the coin and whatnot, which was brilliant.
Yep.
And this third one, they've wanted to go one more and sort of pay their respect, but also to do what needs to be done to raise some coin. And they've made up M&D Guernsey this year for the second year straight.
Fantastic.
With the Goolwa logo and the RSL, which is also a big thing for our family community, as Mum was a life member and Dad's the club manager and whatnot.
Okay.
So and they'll auction the Guernseys off on Saturday night as well.
So did I get this right? Your mum had suffered for 18 months. Was that how long it was?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
See, that's quick, isn't it?
Explain to me how quick and how sad and tough that was, those times.
So, she obviously deteriorated quite quickly, Nick.
Yeah, there's different types of MND, like a lot of illnesses. With motor neuron disease, the type that my mother had affects your speech and swallowing and breathing part of your body before other parts. So, whereas there's other types that, you know, it might be your limbs and movement. So with our situation, yeah, we didn't have as much time as other people, but at the same time, it doesn't make it. There's no better way to have
For sure.
As long as we all band together in years to come, and hopefully we're talking about this in the future where someone actually has an option to, you know, have some treatment, or even better still, have a cure one day would be nice.
That's what we're all aiming for. Nick, great that you could come on and tell us about it. So for anyone down the south coast over the weekend, or if you want to have a day out, head down. It's at the Goolwa Football Club, and you're supporting a great cause. And Nick, it was nice to meet you on the weekend, mate, and I hope the day goes really well for you and for everyone down there.
Yeah, come down, get on board, get on the Pies. Big game for us. And come on, let's get around us and have a good day and join us for a froth or two and we'll watch the footy.
Good on you, Nick. Good.
Well done.
Good lad.
Nick Mann is his name. And it was a sad story. And the other thing, I didn't want to get into this too deeply, but I'm led to believe he actually cares for his dad as well. So, young Nick, I'm guessing he's sort of mid-20s, Nick. So he lost his mum and he now cares for his dad. So, and he was a ripper of a lad. So that's why we wanted to get him on this morning.
Yeah.
As I said, if you're in the area, head down to Goolwa. You'll have a real good day on the weekend.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.